Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Okay, our sources for early October 2025. Wow, there's a lot going on. Some really big shifts.
Yeah, it's not just new games dropping. We're seeing huge corporate moves, hardware tweaks players actually want, and just rapid-fire content updates.
It feels like the industry is being pulled in two ways at once, doesn't it?
It really does. You've got these like massive companies needing, 5, 10 years to plan big things,
Right.
but then they also have to react instantly to player feedback just to stay relevant day to day.
That's the tension we want to dig into today, isn't it? That long-term bet versus the immediate feedback loop.
Exactly.
So our mission, break down EA going private, that's the big long-term gamble. Then look at PlayStation's maybe more immediate fix, this rumored DualSense V3 controller.
And how player feedback is actually changing AAA games like Final Fantasy VII right now.
Let's jump in with the money first, the EA deal. Okay, this is the headline grabber. Electronic Arts, it's official, they're being acquired.
100% takeover. We're talking roughly, what, $55 billion?
Yeah, a huge number. And the buyers, Silver Lake, Affinity Partners, and Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, the PIF.
Right. And the big consequence: EA is delisting from the stock market. No more public company. The sources called it the end of decades of quarterly earnings theater.
Okay, so delisting means no more hitting those Wall Street targets every 3 months. We get that. But why does this specific buyout matter for, the games themselves?
Well, it's about who they answer to now. It shifts from public shareholders worried about next quarter's profits to private equity and state funds. They're potentially looking at deeper, more structural growth.
So the theory is this gives EA breathing room for longer bets, new tech, new IP.
That's the privacy buys creativity
That's right.
argument. Yeah, potentially. They can incubate studios without that constant public pressure.
But hang on, private equity, Silver Lake, they're known for being pretty ruthless about returns, aren't they? Is the risk that it just becomes more focused on profit, just, behind closed doors?
That is absolutely the core tension here. You get new owners, you get new, probably very intense cost discipline. Expect them to sharpen the portfolio,
Extreme.
focus hard on the guaranteed winners, FC, Apex Legends, Battlefield, The Sims, anything experimental, anything that isn't a sure bet. It's going to F you's a much tougher time getting greenlit
They'll want to squeeze the existing successes first.
before funding big new risks, almost certainly.
And we have to touch on the regulatory side. A $55 billion deal doesn't just slide through.
No, it gets attention. But the feeling is the antitrust heat won't be as intense as, say, Microsoft buying Activision,
Why not?
because it's a financial buyout, not really one big game company buying another direct competitor to dominate the market. It's not that kind of horizontal consolidation.
Oh, okay.
Regulators will probably look more at the market impact within EA's huge live service games like data control and stuff, but it avoids that whole platform war headache.
So EA buys itself a long runway, but for us, the players, the real question is,
Right.
what do they do with it? Innovation or just cost cutting?
That's the wait and see part.
Okay, while EA figures out its new private life, let's shift to hardware. It's stuff you actually hold. And it sounds like PlayStation might be fixing a common
Yeah,
annoyance.
exactly. Moving from the boardroom spreadsheet right to the controller in your hand. We keep hearing about the PS5 Pro. That's coming.
Right.
But the rumor that's maybe more impactful day to day is this DualSense V3 controller.
The DualSense. Everyone loves the triggers, the haptics,
Phenomenal tech.
but the battery life, less loved, sources confirming that.
Oh, yeah. And this V3, it sounds like it's not just a tiny improvement. Sources are pointing to a major battery upgrade.
Finally.
The goal is to kill that feeling, mid-boss fight, 20 minutes in, and suddenly no haptics.
Ugh, the worst.
They want it to last like a proper marathon session, 8, 10 hours, without turning down the cool features.
If they nail that, seriously, that's a huge quality of life win. Fits the pattern too, right?
Maybe.
Mid-gen refresh, PS5 Pro for power.
And the V3 for comfort and usability. Exactly. It also ties nicely into their whole 30th anniversary thing. PlayStation hit 30 this year, 1994 launch.
And they're celebrating in a couple of interesting ways.
Yeah, it's quite cultural, almost high fashion in a way.
First up, limited edition sneakers.
Yep, dropping soon. Aimed right at collectors, streetwear fans. Expect lots of nods to the classic symbols: triangle, circle, cross, square, and maybe those old PS1 gray colors.
Yes. And then it's something more long term.
Next year, a big fancy photography book, like art book quality. It sounds like they're trying to frame PlayStation not just as a console, but as this sort of cultural design icon.
Celebrating the history, the community.
Yeah, console shots, player portraits, dev interviews, launch queues, that whole vibe.
Cool. And software-wise, we saw something new in the last State of Play, The Seven Deadly Sins.
All right, that they got revealed. It's an RPG, looks pretty ambitious. Set for early 2026.
What's the hook?
Immersing you in that Britannia world. It's got action combat, puzzles, exploration. And importantly, the source is confirmed. It has both solo and co-op modes.
Trying to hit a broad audience then.
Looks like it, yeah.
Okay, let's pivot now. From planned hardware fixes to games where developers are reacting, like right now, based on what players are saying, that immediate feedback loop.
Yeah, this is where things get really dynamic. And first up, big news regarding Final Fantasy VII. The final part of the trilogy.
Rebirth just came out, relatively speaking.
Exactly. And the director, Naoki Hamaguchi, is already talking about shaping the finale based on a lot of feedback from Rebirth.
Interesting. Rebirth was huge, critically acclaimed mostly, but had some criticisms, right, about the open world.
That seems to be the main thing, yeah. Sources suggest the feedback is pushing them towards maybe quality over just sheer quantity for the last part.
So what are they specifically looking at changing?
Things like sharper quest curation, maybe fewer repetitive side quests, clearer reward loops so you know why you're doing something, and smarter fast travel cadence, smoothing out that giant open world experience.
Makes sense. Less bloat, more focus.
And also, crucially, nailing the story's end. It needs to deliver on the emotional core Cloud, Tifa, Aerith, especially with all the changes they've made. They have to bridge that remake versus rewrite divide.
Can you unpack that divide quickly?
Sure. It's basically the split in the fan base. You've got people who want it to be exactly like the 1997 original.
Purists.
Right. And then you've got people who are really into the new timeline stuff, the meta narrative, the big plot twists. The finale has to somehow satisfy both camps, probably by making the character arcs feel emotionally true, even if the plot diverges.
That's a tightrope walk. Shows they're listening, though.
Definitely. And we see that immediate reaction in the gacha world, too. Hoyoverse just dropped a big update for Zenless Zone Zero, ZZZ version 2.3.
What's in the ZZT update?
The usual stuff. Three new characters, some popular reruns, more main story, new areas to explore, standard gacha content buffet.
But there was something specific for older players.
Yeah, and this is the interesting bit. Quality of life stuff. Vivian gets a new skin, which is nice, but Soldier Ambi, an older character, is getting optional buffs.
Why does buffing an old character matter so much?
Because in gacha, power creep is constant. New characters are usually stronger. Buffing an older unit without totally reworking them tells players who invested time and maybe money into that character
that their investment isn't wasted.
Exactly. It keeps older units viable, keeps players happy, builds trust. It shows they're listening to who people are actually playing.
Speaking of listening, Fortnite. Epic Games is trying out an AI chatbot for support.
Yeah, for handling support tickets. And the reason is pretty simple. Scale.
Too many tickets to handle manually.
Especially with things like proximity chat and all the user-generated content now. It apparently caused a huge spike in moderation issues, account appeals, stuff like that. Humans can't keep up.
So the AI handles the simple stuff.
Right. Billing questions, known bugs, basic account recovery. It's faster, consistent. Leaves the human team to deal with the really tricky, nuanced problems.
What's the key to making that work without frustrating people, according to the sources?
Transparency, mainly. Be upfront that it is a bot, and crucially, have a really easy one-click way to say, I need a human for the complex stuff.
You gotta have that escape hatch.
Otherwise, player trust evaporates fast. All right, let's do a quick rapid-fire round. Stuff happening literally right now, or just about to.
Go for it. What's launching this week that's already causing a stir?
That'd be Battlefield 6. Official launch is October 10th. Focuses on intense infantry combat, planes, demolition, and this new kinesthetic combat system.
What's that system supposed to do?
Sources say it's about giving players way more detailed control over how their soldier moves, interacts with the environment, kind of the tactical flow on foot.
Okay, sounds interesting. And the stir.
Retail copies are already out there. Street date broken. And weirdly, some people are managing to get online and play before the official launch. Bypassing the usual server lock somehow.
Huh. That's unusual. What else?
A leak about Pokemon Legends. ZA. Sounds like they might be messing with how stat-changing moves work.
Like Swords Dance, Calm Mind, those kinds of buffs.
Exactly. The leak suggests the rules for how they stack or how long they last might be different from the main games, which, if true, could totally shake up competitive battling and how you approach bosses.
Force veterans to rethink strategies.
Big time. And finally, a technical fix for a fan favorite.
Let me guess. Control.
You got it. Remedy finally pushed out an update for Control, Ultimate Edition on PS5 and Xbox Series XS.
What does it do?
Basically brings the console versions up to speed with the PC version, which got fixes earlier. So better stability, fewer bugs, smoother performance, especially with ray tracing enabled.
Good. That game deserves to run well everywhere.
Definitely. Just cleaning up a modern classic. Hashtag head outro.
So quite a mix today. We definitely saw that tension we talked about. EA ditching public markets for a long-term private focus. Hoping for bigger creative swings down the road.
Well, PlayStation is focused on immediate player comfort with that potential DualSense battery fix.
And then developers like Square Enix with Final Fantasy and Hoyoverse with ZZZ actively tweaking games right now based on direct player feedback, tightening things up, keeping old content relevant.
Yeah, the whole stack really shows that no matter the move, financial, technical, whatever, it eventually has to circle back to the player experience, or at least promise to improve it.
Exactly. We know going private means less public oversight for EA, but the sources suggest the upside could be more creative freedom, more time for those big bets. So here's something for you to think about. Which one of EA's big franchises, you know, Battlefield, The Sims, maybe something else, do you think most needs that kind of long, uninterrupted private development time to really deliver one of those bangers they're promising?
Interesting question. What could they build if the quarterly pressure was truly gone? Something to mull over.
Definitely. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.